auditory impact. 10 seconds there. 1, 2, 3, 4 to my count. Yeah! 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
We're ready to go into fast time if you are.
Live from the authority of South Florida, the Rich Steven Show starts now.
Doing a real good show up there. I think we're proving our point, old buddy.
How are you? What's going on? It is a lovely Tuesday in South Florida. I just looked at the date and I forgot. It is the 15th of December, 2015. I am Rich Stevens, and I have the honor and pleasure in the studio with me today, the lovely and talented criminal defense expert attorney, Michelle Suskow. How are you?
I'm very well. Good morning.
How are you today? You're doing good?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm happy to be here looking at a beautiful view.
I got to tell you, we often have you on last minute because of cases that are happening. And obviously, when it's a last minute thing and you're like the travel queen, you're rarely around when we need you to be in the studio. So to have you in the studio, as you know, over so many years is always a lot better because I can see your eyes now. And I know your reaction to something when I'm saying it to know if you're going to jump on me or if you're just going to go along with what I'm saying.
Well, I'm very, very happy to be here. And the studio is not too far away from my office. And I'm glad I was able to have some time and come and spend with you.
Me too. I won't even ask how you were able to do it because I know you're busy with court all the time. But listen, I really appreciate you taking time to be in the studio with us because it just makes all the difference in the world.
It's great.
It'd be kind of like, do you think you could ever hold a criminal case and not be in the courtroom and do it via phone? That'd be difficult.
Well, there are some hearings that you can do, some judges will allow you to appear telephonically, but it certainly isn't as effective as if you're actually there in front of the court.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. So same thing with radio, as a matter of fact. I'm glad that you're here.
I'm going to try not to phone it in. I'm going to try to come in whenever I can.
Good. And there's so many legal things, that are front and center. And we had a conversation. We were sitting there in the kitchen before the show talking about a case that's happening right here in Broward County where a deputy has actually been charged. He's been arrested. He's been suspended. And it all goes back to a case from 2013 where a guy in a parking lot there was actually a couple 911 calls where people said there's a guy with a gun. And the guy had a rifle over his shoulder. Apparently, that's the legal way to carry the gun, by the way, if you're going to carry the gun.
Okay. Thanks for letting me know, because I did not know that, actually.
Do you? Or do
no,
you?
I really
okay.
didn't.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm told.
Okay.
I can't verify that. In other words, when you have a rifle, if you're going to and from your car from the house, you are supposed to put it over your shoulder with a shoulder strap, and then that's apparently legal. So I'm told.
Okay.
If you
And that's what he was doing.
Well, again, see, we don't have all the details. And this is why, like, so many cases that we end up talking about are a little bit murky because we're just, Monday morning quarterbacking and we don't have all the specifics.
Right.
Now, you've had criminal defense cases that have played out in the media. You've had some pretty high profile cases.
Yes.
And you see crap going on in the media that you know is so far from the truth and people just speculating. So I guess that's what we're doing now.
That's right. And it's all of these police officer shootings are also under such a microscope right now. And it's and they can't be lumped. And that's another thing I know you and I have talked about. They really cannot be lumped into one particular box because they each have to be looked at individually. They're different situations.
It's interesting that you say that because law enforcement is calling this. They've actually come up with a name for this. And they've called all of these the Ferguson effect. So they themselves, law enforcement, has kind of lumped all these together. And you're saying that's not a good thing.
Well, I think... Look, there is a positive. Obviously, it's terrible that there's loss of life in these situations. No matter what the situation is, there's a loss of life, and that's horrific. But the fact is every case is different. And what the positive that comes out of this is a couple of things. Number one, that there's a conversation, which maybe has not happened before. Number two, there's going to be awareness and better training in terms of law enforcement about when deadly force is appropriate, when it's not appropriate. And maybe we're going to see more lapel cameras on police officers throughout the country. So we're able to get a better view of what happens during these citizen police interactions.
I'm glad you brought that up because let's go to Chicago where they had cameras for the guy that was shot in the street.
Yeah.
And yet something happened to some of the footage. So what good are the cameras if they're not solid protected, that you can't erase footage or disable the audio or somehow?
And you can. But the fact is to have them there is, in terms of perception, is very good for the public. And also is, you know, someone on the police officer's shoulder saying, listen, you're going to have a camera. It's going to be operational. And look what the fallout is in Chicago as a result of this missing footage. You have a police commissioner that is gone. Okay. You have a mayor that is in peril as a result of this. And so you have a big spotlight on what's going on in Chicago. That doesn't mean you don't have lapel cameras because someone can mess with the footage. But the fact is that you have them, and that's some protection.
But then again, there's the other side of the story. There was just a protest where the Corey Jones family and friends last weekend, you know, they're all campaigning for body cams on all cops. And again, the reality is a plainclothes officer cannot wear one of these cameras. In the Corey Jones shooting, if that cop had a camera on, he couldn't have had a camera on because he was plainclothes.
I understand that. But if you're looking at most of these officer involved shootings are not plainclothes. OK, so look, there is no perfect fit here. There is no perfect fix. But is that a step in the right direction? It's a significant step in the right direction. And I think anybody in law enforcement is going to tell you that. Certainly as a criminal defense lawyer, I want body cams as well on police officers, because then you can see it's another piece of evidence in a criminal case, good or bad. It's another piece of evidence.
So when you say you're for it, whether you're representing the defendant,
Or I'm representing the cop. Sure,
right,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have a camera. And again, that doesn't mean that is the be all end all, because that's one view. However, it's an officer's view. So it really would be helpful to say, was the officer's decision making reasonable in the circumstances based on the view that they had? Because remember, officers are making split-second decisions. Right or wrong, they're making split-second decisions. And there's a question of whether their decisions are reasonable in the situation based on their training, based on what is going on. So I think it's not perfect. It's a step in the right direction.
You're listening to criminal defense attorney Michelle Suskauer here in the studio with the Rich Steven Show on a beautiful Wednesday morning. Tuesday. You see, somebody who screwed me up? Oh, it was one of the salespeople that said
it
it's
is
Wednesday.
Not. You're going to mess everybody up now.
Did I start the show and say it was Wednesday too?
I don't know, but it is
Wednesday. It's Tuesday. I don't know. Somewhere we lost a day. And I was fine until one of the salespeople.
It's daylight savings where you actually skip a day. Okay, that's what it is.
Now you're going to confuse people. It is Tuesday, December 15th. It is the 15th, right?
It is the 15th.
Okay, yeah, I just want to make sure.
Yes.
See, it just goes to show you, somebody puts a little bug in your ear, and then you get all screwed up. And this was where we're sitting.
How easy you are to mold and change.
Well, yes. You almost fell for it, too.
I didn't fall for it.
Almost.
No, not
almost.
Me.
We're sitting in the kitchen having a cup of coffee. A salesperson walks in, and next thing, I believe it's already Wednesday, and we looked at each other and said,
it's not.
It's Tuesday, right? she was clueless. But again, back to the issue with the cameras. So we also know that the cameras work both ways, that it could help a cop. It could also hurt a cop.
Sure.
The problem is there's still no technology that's fail-safe that says a cop has to turn the camera on. That will force the camera to go on. I've probably seen about six different versions of these body cams, and they all have similar attributes, but the problem that I still see is no matter what you're doing, you still have to turn it on. It doesn't turn on by itself.
But then that is going to be a focus. If someone had a body cam and they failed to turn it on, why?
Does that make them guilty right away?
No, nothing makes someone guilty right away. Certainly you're talking to a criminal defense lawyer. But the fact is, it is a giant, giant step forward to actually go to and have make the expenditure for these departments and have these body cameras that are available. It is significant. And that they're also going to be used, I'm sure, in future training of police officers. And again, that is something that I think all of these things, the conversation, the fact that there is going to be more sensitivity, better communication between the public and law enforcement.
But then what do you do in a case like in Chicago where the,
There, there are always going to be those types of cases, unfortunately. But what we're talking about is reducing the number of situations. You know, Rich, think about the number of interactions between law enforcement and the community. And we've talked about this on a daily basis. We're talking about a very, very tiny, thank God, interaction between the community and law enforcement that goes bad. We don't want, listen, we want to eliminate all of them. You're not going to be able to eliminate them. But this is a conversation that is moving this situation in a positive direction.
All right, listen, we have a lot more to talk about. I want to talk more about the Broward case, and I want to talk about the LA case. And I have another question for you that's unrelated to all of this that I was trying to justify this in my head, and I'm thinking that maybe if this was what we did with guns many years ago, we wouldn't have the problems we have today. But the bigger question is, does the government have the power to make you register your drone that you might go out and buy for the holiday? Do they have a right to do that? Because they're doing this. This is happening. They're saying that drones are going to be the most given and bought item. It's not a toy. And they say that if you have one of these drones, you must register with the federal government. Now, the first month, the registration's free, and after that, it's going to be just $5 to do it. But do they have the right to tell me or you that we have to register our drones?
Is this a question to me?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about, do you want... Is there a reasonable or a reasonably related reason that the government wants to intrude and create this type of registry? What are these used for? Could these interfere, which they have been interfering with airspace?
Absolutely.
Okay. So is it a safety reason? Is that reasonable? And what really is the downside as to why someone would not want it registered? You have a drone that's flying around that interferes, and there's a plane that goes down, a commuter plane or something that's lower flying.
So why wouldn't we do registration at point of sale? Why wouldn't they say, when you're buying this?
You're right. You're right. You know what? Why not? I agree with you. What is the best way? Look, this is all new. I mean, this is something that is, you're right, that everybody is giving now. It's between the hoverboards. Hopefully those are off the market soon. The hoverboards and drones. You're right. It should be a point of sale. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
I don't think the hoverboards are going anywhere. I think just the cheap ones with those Chinese batteries that are exploding.
The lithium batteries?
Those are going away. But the drones, I think it was 60 Minutes on Sunday where I was watching that. If you want to buy one of these hoverboards, you want to make sure you're spending a minimum $400 and up, and that's how you'll know you're getting
the
batteries.
You're not buying the cheapy ones with the lithium batteries that are exploding, right?
And you need to actually take the cover off and look at the battery. If it's a name brand like Sony or Samsung or one of these things, then you know it's safe. If it's some kind of fakakta name that you don't know what it is, then don't buy it and go away for it. A lot of people are buying these cheaper ones for $250, $300, which is, to me, is a lot of money. But those are considered the cheaper ones, and those are the ones that are exploding.
It's terrifying.
Why every airline has banned hoverboards totally from being on board.
Would you want to be on a plane with a hoverboard and down in cargo?
Absolutely not. But then again, you have to think about this. It's a lithium battery, and we don't know where the batteries – well, they come from China, but we don't know what's in those. How do we know what's in people's phones or other devices?
So what should we do about that?
There's nothing you can do.
Which is scary.
The only thing that we can do is fly naked.
That could be a little – disconcerting. I guess it depends on
who
it is.
Who you're sitting next to.
It's definitely by the way, wasn't there a shooting in a nudist colony in Palm Beach County
Actually, it was two days ago?
A stabbing.
18-year-old girl was stabbed. Why? Who does that?
I thought that everyone's peaceful and happy and
well. They're saying that they're assuming or guessing. PBSO is saying that whoever it is might have gone through the woods onto the property and.
That was a strange segue, by the way.
But you did it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize.
You should be a criminal defense. Oh, never mind. All right, listen, you're listening to The Rich Steven Show. That's Michelle Suskauer, and we will take a quick timeout and be back in 1 second. Don't go anywhere.
If it's happening, it's happening here. This is The Rich Steven Show. Now, here's Rich Stevens.
And in the studio with us today is the famed criminal defense attorney, Michelle Suskauer. Thank you for being here. I see there's a picture of you on Twitter this morning.
Let's just look at the picture on the website instead.
Yeah, actually, I was just looking at your website, which is suskourlaw.com, and that is a great picture of you.
Thank you.
And listen, I know this is going to sound wrong because I'm not good at this stuff, but who? Where is she?
Oh, my God. You know what? That is insulting. That's sexist.
See,
okay,
but
I'm sorry, this is radio. But thank you so much, by the way, for just telling everybody that I'm not having
really
a good hair
picture.
Day today.
I didn't say that.
See, it's radio.
I know, but I
when
just...
When I'm on TV, I have a good hair day.
But I expected her to come in this morning.
She is here.
See, I lost some weight.
She
and
is
I wanted,
here.
I wanted to get some new pictures. We haven't had a picture together
she
in a while.
She is sitting across from you.
Where is she? Where is she?
I'm right here.
Oh. You look a little different.
Experienced,
aggressive, criminal defense. Oh, and compassionate. This must be the compassionate part.
not with you. You've lost the compassion.
Listen, we don't have enough time in a day to discuss all the issues that are going
on.
Well,
then you're going to have to invite me back.
You can come back anytime.
I would love to.
Send you're close by, then you should stop by. We should make this like a weekly thing.
I would love to.
That you can stay out of court.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to stay. I will come in and, because like I said, you guys are like 10 minutes from my office.
Listen, your husband's a judge. Can't they help you get a little pull where you can say
There is no pull.
Like Thursday mornings at 9, you could come in or something like
that? There is no pull. But I would love to, especially if anyone has questions, I could come in. We can, chat.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We can,
that'd be awesome.
There's always people. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to leave and people will call and say, well, I have a question for Michelle. Well, Michelle's not here. That's why you want to go to her website, which is suskourlaw.com, and you can click on...
Look at the picture of what I actually look like, okay? Thank you, Rich.
It's a great picture.
Thank you, Rich. Yeah,
it really is.
Not retouched. That's me.
I didn't say anything about retouch.
You were implying it.
I wasn't implying
it at all.
Yes,
you were.
I'm just paying you a compliment that it's a great picture.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Listen, are you staying or are you going? Can you stay a little while?
I could stay for a few minutes if you're going to be nice.
I am being nice.
Okay.
All right. Stand by. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. I think I'm being very nice. I really do. We'll be back right after this. You are listening to The Rich Stevens Show.
If it's happening, it's happening here. This is The Rich Stevens Show. Now, here's Rich Stevens.
And in the studio with me today, criminal defense lawyer... A criminal defense analyst, criminal defense expert, Michelle Suskour.
I'm here.
Yeah. You can pull that microphone closer.
Can I?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, the only problem with these microphones, you got to talk right directly into them.
I understand.
Yeah, there you go. Much better. Much better. So before the break, we were all over the place. We were talking about your picture, and that seemed to, this is the thing. You never know. All kidding aside, when something is done and or said that turns into a controversy. There's a school principal in Brooklyn that, according to the New York Daily News, has banned the Star Spangled Banner or the Pledge of Allegiance in her school. I don't know that this is true. I don't know. Not necessarily everything you read in the paper is true, but we'll find out about that. There's a story coming up about a seventh grader that was thrown out of school, suspended for wearing a Star Wars T-shirt. Which is also incredible to me. But then again, this all started, I think it was about 2 years ago. And I remember talking to you about this. We had you on. A kid in Connecticut drew with crayons a gun on a piece of paper and was suspended because of the zero tolerance policy.
You know, that's when you have these policies with, where people have blinders on, this is the policy. And, one size does not fit all for every situation. For example, this kid with the Star Wars T-shirt with a, with a paratrooper or a stormtrooper, sorry, with the stormtrooper, picture of the stormtrooper with the stormtrooper gun. And he gets, he gets suspended as opposed to just take off the shirt or turn it inside out. That makes absolutely no sense. It's sort of like the kid who made the clock and then he was thrown out. you know, and
made and, $2 million and got to go to the White House.
And got to go to the White House and got a call from the president and all that.
Yeah,
so it just these types of policies, although when you're you have these knee jerk reactions and you make these no tolerance policies and then you realize you have a 5-year old that's gonna get suspended as a result of it, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, and but that's
it's like taking away recess.
But this
from
is
babies.
The world we're in today. I mean, you know, if you take
But it
that,
doesn't but it if, doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be if these policies are done with you know, with some common sense.
But it seems that we don't have any common sense anymore because everybody wants to be politically correct, and that's the biggest issue at hand.
That's right. Well, you know, when someone who's on the no-fly zone can buy a gun or a drone,
right?
Then no, it doesn't make sense.
I guarantee you Congress hasn't given any thought to the no-fly list people for drones. They're not even thinking about that. And especially because they're unlike guns. Drones, you can go into Walmart, you can go into Walgreens, you can go into Radio Shack, you can go to Amazon, you can go to eBay, and none of that is regulated.
Nope.
Now, should it be regulated? There's the privacy, I guess I'm going to call them enthusiasts, that say, oh, no, I don't want anybody to know that I have a drone. How have they even thought how they can possibly enforce you registering your drone?
Again, just what we discussed, which is, you know, what you had suggested, which is point of sale. And when you start, when you have only certain vendors that can sell it, and it has to be regulated from point of sale, at least you have some modicum of control.
Guess what? It's too late because, A, they're already in hands of people who may or may not do something unethical with them, and, B, anybody that's bought them for Christmas gifts has probably already bought them, too.
Right. But you don't just give, you just don't throw up your hands and say, that's it.
Well,
I'm not going to regulate anymore because now it's too late. The cat's out of the bag. That's not a good attitude either.
But it's the same issue with guns. I mean, you know, you have this White House that keeps saying, oh, gun regulation, background checks. I believe in background checks. The problem is that it's not the guns from the law-abiding citizens. It's the guns that are in the hands of the criminals who, quite frankly, you wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the people that break the law every day.
Yeah, but you know, you may have an individual who is able to purchase a gun, who has mental health issues, who's never had any problem with the criminal justice system, and then they go ahead and they get to their breaking point, and then they become not a law-abiding
so
citizen.
How would you prevent that?
Well, listen, there are people that are a whole lot smarter than me that hopefully are working on this situation throughout the country because there has to be. Listen, look, it's very frustrating. And we just had the terrible anniversary of Newtown yesterday. And I just thought, along with so many other people across the country, that if there was not a change in gun laws and regulations as a result of the babies that were murdered in Newtown, then it's not going to happen. I just don't think that we should be throwing up our hands and giving up as a result. We cannot.
Listen, first of all, there is nobody smarter than you, number one. Number two, I don't think we should give up either. However, I think we need to start to use some kind of common sense. The common sense is exactly what you just said. If somebody goes to buy a gun today and they are not in the system, as the saying goes, then all red flags are non-existent. So there is nothing, there is no protection for somebody to walk into a gun store, wait the 5 days or wherever, different in different states, and then you get the gun and then you go shoot up a school. And you're right, because 3 years ago, yesterday, when you and I sat in the studio and talked about this horrific event and said that something has to change, something has to happen, and so many people wanted to believe that something would happen, and in fact, it's gotten worse.
Well, you know what? The country has become, unfortunately, numb to it. It's another shooting. It's another college campus shooting. It's another movie theater shooting. It's interesting. You know, the other day, my mother-in-law sent me a text, and she said, she lives in Broward, and I went to a movie theater, and they searched my bag. Can they do that? Yes. And wouldn't you want them to? Do you feel safer? Do you feel safer if someone is going through a bag in a movie theater?
The honest answer to that is it would depend on who's searching it. It's kind of like you go to the airport, and listen, I respect the Transportation Safety Authority. or administration, the TSA, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
However, if you've and you fly a lot, you know that when you go through, sometimes you get a really a good check, and other times it's kind of like, wow, I can't believe they didn't even and fill in the blank. So I think it's good that they search you, but the problem is, if you look at the Aurora movie theater shootings, that guy wasn't in the theater. He came in through a side door. So what good is searching people's bags that go in?
Well,
it's a double-edged sword.
It is, and I think that, unfortunately, if we don't learn something from each of these incidents, we are poorer for it.
I think the only thing that we're learning is how dumb we are to allow this stuff to continue. It's my opinion. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Joe in Fort Lauderdale, how are you today?
All right, Rich. Always a pleasure. You know, the major problem is people keep making it political. You got one side that lines up for gun rights and one side that lines up for gun advocates, which in most cases, it's a mental health issue. I mean, we really do need to be able to commit people in this country and have federal institutions. The gentleman in Aurora, he's a phony, because when the police showed up, he put down his gun. If he was such a crazy man, he would have died. You know what I mean? He would have went out dying. He knew what he was doing when he put down that gun when the law enforcement showed up. But the person at Sandy Hook, the mother was trying to commit this young man, and she had no way of doing it. We have to make it easy for family members to put some of these people away. I mean, look at all the homeless, drug addicts, alcoholics that we got on the streets nowadays. You know, and we have nowhere for them. You know, we give them a homeless shelter for 3 or 4 days, and then we kick them out on the road. You know, I do believe that drug abuse and alcoholism is self-inflicted, but I also believe that they can't control it and they need help. You know, so we never talk about the real issue. You know, the real issue is there's a lot of people that shouldn't be on the streets and when they get evaluated should never be allowed to buy a gun.
Well, you know, I agree with you, but we also should not be putting individuals who have addiction issues or mental health issues and warehouse them in prison as a result of these issues. So what do we need to do as a country? We need to be putting more money toward the mental health system, and we have a mental health court in Palm Beach County, and there are a variety of counties throughout the state of Florida that have mental health courts, so we can make sure that individuals are getting the help they need. We have drug court in Palm Beach County as well.
But the problem is a lot of people are either not diagnosed in time or sometimes at all, and so they're not even in the mental health court. Don't you see that on a daily basis?
No, but there's a lot of diversion to mental health court. No, but we have folks that have long criminal histories because of mental health issues. They just are warehoused and warehoused and warehoused.
Yeah, back,
and
they,
things. And
it's,
so
it's like a merry-go-round.
That's
just
what it is.
Nowhere. 877-850-8585. Paul in Palm Beach Gardens, how are you today?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. You know, you've got a couple issues with guns. You're focusing on the mentally ill, which is certainly one area, but you got a congresswoman from out west, and she's in Colorado, who had a family Christmas card that went out with all their kids, including little preteen kids holding guns, and she's talking about going to overseas and shoot and kill Syrian refugees herself. You have a rhetoric, a hateful level in this country that goes beyond the norm. And when you have people who are vehemently opposed to having people, there's 500 Americans on the no-fly list, and you have people that think that those individuals have a right to buy a weapon, whether they're on a terrorist list or not.
Right, because the system, listen, Paul, if it's not apparent, and you're just reiterating it, that the system is just so messed up. And because I don't believe that it was taken seriously to begin with, and again, that's just my opinion. You may not agree with that, but as long as we go down the path that we're going down now and trying to be reactive instead of proactive, I think we're all sitting ducks again.
Which is why we should have a proactive stance that says, number one, if we can't trust you on an airplane, we're not going to let you buy an AK-47.
And it seems like common sense to me.
Well, sure, it's common sense. And there's one Republican congressman in Texas that says, I don't want Syrians in my state because it's too easy to buy a weapon.
So we have issues where you have talk show hosts who go out there and scream about having the right to buy an AK-47, and even if they can't fly, they should still be able to buy an AK-47.
Well, it's not necessarily
the rhetoric is being ramped.
Well, but it's not necessarily that everybody that's saying all these things is right in what they're saying. I mean, there's a difference between Second Amendment rights and just common sense. Again, that's my opinion.
It's very, very difficult because there are folks, when it comes to the Second Amendment, have blinders on and say there should be no limitations, period. Nothing. There is no change at all. That's it.
Well, there's got to be some kind of change because the system is not working.
Absolutely. I agree.
I am all for the Second Amendment. I think everybody should have the legal right to carry a gun. The problem is, again, that people that are against guns don't seem to realize that the biggest problem is the people that don't follow the law. It's the criminals. It's all the guns. And I've said this numerous times. If you were to take away all our guns that are legal, what about the criminals? They're not going to stand up and say, hey, oh, by the way, you forgot me. And again, I go back to the same thing, Michelle Suskauer, criminal defense attorney. If that was going to happen, you'd be out of business.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, you wouldn't have anybody to represent if everybody.
I represent people more than just firearms charges.
I have
plenty to do.
Right. I'm just saying, if all the criminals all of a sudden gave up and there were no more criminals,
that will never happen
right.
Anywhere because there's always been crime from the very beginning
Absolutely.
Of time.
Absolutely. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Michelle Suskauer is the best. We're going to make this a regular thing?
Yes.
Right.
Let's
when
do this.
When are you
going to
tell me?
I think we're going to do Tuesdays.
Listen, have your people.
I have my people. No, I've looked at my calendar, and I think I'd love to come in Tuesday mornings
I think we can
to chat
it.
With you.
I think we can arrange that.
That would be wonderful.
And maybe we can get some better pictures, too.
I'll do my best to have a better hair day for you. My God. By the way, girls out there, he is incredibly picky, just letting you know.
Oh, please. You know what? You're reading my Facebook stuff? Is that the problem? Is that the issue here? Really? Come on. You can't blame a guy for trying that, right?
I know.
All right, 877-850-8585. If you get that phone to ring, hang on. And if you get a busy hang up and try again, quick time out. You're listening to The Rich Stevens Show.
850 WFTL. I was going to say here's more Rich, but he's lost weight, so here's less Rich.
All right, let's take a quick call from Larry in Royal Palm Beach. How are you today?
Hey, Rich. How you doing? All right, man.
Good, thanks.
Hey, I wanted to comment on what that last caller said about the no-fly list. And it's true what he said with respect to you can still purchase guns if you're on that no-fly list. And, you know, I love watching those Sunday morning talk shows. And they made an excellent point last Sunday. And what they said was this. There have been thousands of guns purchased by people on the no-fly list. And guess how many of those guns have been used in a crime?
Probably none, right?
Yeah, zero. How about that?
Yeah.
So what that is, that's
not
another
yet.
Example.
Michelle says not yet. So that's a good point, too. Larry, listen, hang on. Don't move. And if you're on hold, hang on. Don't go anywhere. Michelle Suskauer, I know the courthouse is calling. I can see your phone blowing up there. By the way, you got to show me how to make my text that big. I can read it from here. Michelle Suskauer, SuskauerLaw.com. Thank you for coming in. I'm going to talk to you later today. We'll plan on you coming in regularly, maybe on Tuesdays.
Tuesday mornings.
All right. We'll have to promote that.
All right. Absolutely.
Thank
Love
you.
It. Thanks
have
so much.
Have a great day. Be safe. Always appreciate your opinions. More of The Rich Stevens Show coming up next.